sheep hear your voice. And tonight, with open Bibles, open ears, open hearts, open eyes, we want to hear your voice from your precious word. Lead us and guide us in all truth tonight as we look at the history of Israel, Judea, and times haven't changed a whole lot in the world in which we live today. Oh, how we need godly leaders to lead this nation, which has on its currency one nation under God. But yet, Lord, we've drifted from you. I pray for a Nineveh experience, Lord, that people would repent and turn back to you. Lord, we love you. We thank you for the free gift of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that you've begun a good work in all of us, and you will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. So, Lord, you're the guest of honor here tonight. This is your church. We want to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're still looking at the kings. Over a period of about 100 years, that's a long time, would you say? Hezekiah was the only faithful king in Judah. Imagine that, 100 years. He only had one king that was faithful to God. That's why I just so love having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Our king is perfect. Our king is going to rule and reign for all eternity. Our king loves us. Our king laid down his life for us. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so tonight, as we look again at the life of Hezekiah, he not only did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. And again, every time I read that in Scripture, that they did right in the eyes of the Lord, I pray for our leaders in our nation. Oh, Lord, open the eyes. Take the scales off these people that are leading our nation and other nations so that they might do what is right in your eyes. You see everything, Lord. He removed, Hezekiah did, the high places of pagan worship in Judah. And we have high places of pagan worship here in America. It's so sad. We have idols of all sorts. We are worshiping the same pagan idols today that they did back then, but we've just changed the names. Hezekiah cut down the wooden images of Asherah. It was a perverted sexual symbol. Not going to go into detail on that one. He broke into pieces the bronze serpent. He really did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. He cleaned house in Judah. He trusted in the Lord like none of the kings before him or after him. He was truly a man after God's own heart. He held fast to the Lord. And not only do we look for this in leaders, but you know what? When I read things like this, I have to examine my own heart. God has allowed me to be a leader, to lead his flock. I'm not the head of the flock. He is. The Lord says the greatest in the kingdom of heaven is the least of all, the servant of all. And I think that's the best place to lead. It really, really is. And we talked about that last Sunday, God's blueprint for his church. How Jesus went into the temple with a whip of cords and he cleaned house because of what was going on in his Father's house. And I think it's so important not only to examine our own personal lives, but also examine what goes on in his church here. And as I mentioned Sunday, if Jesus walked through these doors right now, would he have a whip of cords? What would he see? Are we holding fast to the Lord? Hezekiah did. He did not depart from following the Lord. Is that a fear in your heart? It is in mine. I think it's a healthy fear. I have a fear of not following the Lord. I really do. Being deceived, getting off track, whatever it might be. I don't take my relationship with the Lord for granted. We're to enter into his presence and walk with him in fear and trembling. That's so important. Hezekiah kept all of the Lord's commandments. Jesus made it simple for us. Love the Lord God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength, and love your neighbor, your fellow being, as yourself. And that means your fellow man. Not only your friends and relatives and loved ones, but Jesus took it a step further. We're to love our enemies as well. How many times over the years have you seen your enemies? I have. My enemies come to Jesus Christ because I loved them and did not return evil for evil or anger or hatred for anger or hatred. He kept all of the commandments of the Lord. And with this, guess what he did? He drew Judah back to the temple to worship the Lord. The Bible tells us a few chapters ago that Israel had turned their back on God because they were playing follow the leader. And they were following the wrong leader. And so here tonight in verses 1 to 7, Hezekiah is going to be tested. Yes, men and women of God will be tested in this life. Bless you. And so let's see what the Lord has for us. Watch what happens here in the first 7 verses. And we're not exempt from facing trials like this. Notice, in those days, verse 1, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." Whoa. Then he turned his face toward the wall, Hezekiah did, and prayed to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. And it happened before Isaiah had gone out of into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. And I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. And I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then Isaiah said, "Take a lump of figs." And so they took and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. So we see what the problem was. He had some sort of a boil that was a death sentence for him, and he was told to get his house in order. If you've been here any length of time, 6 years ago, I had a growth on my neck that was getting bigger day by day by day. I went to the doctor, and he told me to get my life in order. Let me tell you what I told him. I said, "I belong to Jesus Christ. My life is in order." He gave me 5 months to live 6 years ago. I went and got a second opinion. I went to a different doctor in a different hospital, Loma Linda. Loma Linda, the doctors pray every morning. They get together, hold hands, and they pray for the patients that come through the doors. And with what they did, removing the growth from my neck, here I am 6 years later. You're stuck with me. All glory, honor, and praise to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we need lessons like that to teach us some important things. Sometimes we take life for granted as if we're going to live to be 100, 110, 20, 30. But you know what? It is possible for anyone here or anyone watching on YouTube to go to a doctor one day and have him tell you, "Get your house in order. You're going to die." Whoa. And so here we see Hezekiah seriously ill, near death. By the way, I got to tell you something interesting as well. I was really discouraged and downhearted. And I sat in my lazy boy, just totally trashed. And after about two or three days, my wife came over to me and she says, get your rear end out of that chair right now. And guess what? That's when things changed. I got up. I needed my wife to tell me that. Praise the Lord. Sometimes somebody just got to tell you straight up, get up. Because sometimes, even like we see Hezekiah weeping bitterly, sometimes it can devastate us. You know, we think we know what we would do if we were in a life-threatening situation like this, but you won't know until you get there. Praise God for my wife, Tina, my helper. She helped me get it together. So here's Hezekiah, seriously ill, near death. And Isaiah the prophet comes to him. And we know that Isaiah is solid, isn't he? And he tells him, thus saith the Lord. Whoa. And when someone like Isaiah says, thus saith the Lord, or thus says the Lord, you best be listening up. He tells him to get his house in order, and his death is imminent. Yes, godly people are subject to illness. All of us. We're not exempt. We live in a fallen world. So what does he do? He turns to the Lord in prayer. That's the first thing we need to do, is turn to the Lord in prayer. He wept bitterly. And again, how many times have we seen weeping in the Bible? And how many times have I shared with you that God has every one of our tears in a bottle? That's how close he is to us, how intimate our Lord is to us. He has every tear that you have ever shed in a bottle in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Wow. And so here he is, Hezekiah, weeping bitterly. He says, I've walked with you in truth, with a loyal heart. I've done what is good in your sight. He wasn't telling God something that God didn't already know. God knew, God saw, God was aware of it. And even before Isaiah got out of the middle court of the palace, it says here, the word of the Lord again came to Isaiah. That was quick. Telling him to go back and tell Hezekiah, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayers. I have seen your tears, just as God does with you and I today. God hears your prayers. Do you have that confidence when you pray that God is listening to you? That is so, so important. We're constantly reminding the men in men's prayer that you're not talking to the men in the room. You're talking to God. God's ear is attentive to your prayer. And we always remind the guys, God doesn't need the details. He knows the details already. Not only that, he doesn't need instructions on how to resolve the situation. How many times do you hear people telling God how to fix it? You know what I love about God? When I lift up prayers to him and he fixes it, he does it at times in a way that I never, ever, ever, ever could imagine. That's how we see his hand, when God does something that is humanly impossible. I've heard your prayers. I've seen your tears. I've got them in a bottle, basically. I will heal you. And he tells him he's going to add 15 years to his life. Wow. God is sovereign. God is God. He is in control of everything. He knows the number of our days. Sometimes he heals us and extends our days here on earth. Sometimes he takes us home to heaven to be with him. He is God. Did a memorial service yesterday and reminded the people that heaven is a reward. It's not punishment. Heaven is the ultimate blessing. We can't even comprehend what awaits us in heaven. Why do we wrestle and fight and kick and bite to stay here at times? I believe when I get to heaven, I'm going to go, man, what was I thinking? What was I doing? And so the best thing we need to do right now as God's children is live our lives for him while we're here. Live every day for him. and be who he wants you to be, and make yourself open and available to be used by him. What would you do if one day you were in Hezekiah's situation? Get your house in order. Or what would you do if God gave you 15 more years? What would you do with those years? Would you squander them, or would you continue down the same path that Hezekiah was on, in obedience to God, doing what is right in the eyes of the Lord, and worshiping him in spirit and in truth? I love the times that God leaves the Bible open-ended, because we don't have a record of what Hezekiah did for the next 15 years. And the reason it's open-ended is so that you and I would learn. If God were to give us 15 years or another 15 days, would we live for him? There is no greater thing that you can do than live for the Lord. And so actually with what we see at the end of this chapter and in the beginning of chapter 21, Judah was blessed to have a godly king, and God extended his reign for 15 more years. So the people were blessed because the king had prayed and wept and asked the Lord to spare him. And so not only does the king get 15 more years, but Judah gets 15 more years of a godly king for an extended period of time. But we do see what happens after Hezekiah checks out. Things are going to change drastically. The important lesson, though, I believe, for you and I this evening is whether you just have one day to live or whether you have 15 or more years to live, don't wait till you get the death sentence to set your house in order. Hello? That should be a daily thing. We do it physically, house cleaning. And should we not keep the temple of the Holy Spirit clean? Keep this house clean on the inside. I think it's so important, whether you got one day left, 15 more years or more to live, keep your house in order. That's so important. Live in obedience to the Lord all the days of your life, because it's a win-win situation. Isaiah then says, take a lump of figs. Lay it on the boil. He did, and guess what? He recovered. Verses 8 to 11. And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what is the sign that the Lord will heal me, and that I shall go up to the house of the Lord the third day? Then Isaiah said, this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go backward 10 degrees? He's talking about a sundial here. And Hezekiah answered, it is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees or to go forward, but let the shadow go backward 10 degrees. So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he, the Lord, brought the shadow 10 degrees backward, by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz. So here we have a confirmation of Hezekiah's healing. It would be that the shadow on the sundial would go back 10 degrees. Reminds me of times in Scripture when God actually caused the sun to stop. God is in control of everything. Sun, the moon, the stars, heavens, everything. There's a universe out that way, and there's also a universe in this way. The atoms in your body. It's almost like a little solar system on the inside. God is so incredible. He really, really is. And so often we don't take the time to ponder how awesome our God is. And so here God shows him that he's going to be healed by moving the shadow of the sundial backwards. And this was a supernatural event, a confirmation, which could only be done by the Lord. Only the Lord can stop the sun. Only the Lord can move it forward or move it backwards. He's God, which could only be done by the Lord, who controls everything. Everything is under his control. And that should encourage us as well. Thank you, Lord, that even though we see all these crazy things going on in the world, God is still in control of everything. The Bible tells us all through 1 and 2 Kings that men were doing evil in the sight of the Lord, meaning that the Lord sees everything, and also that Hezekiah and some of the others were doing what is good in the eyes of the Lord. God sees everything. God is in, control of everything. And so here we see a confirmation on the sundial when the shadow moved backwards. Wouldn't that be exciting, seeing God do that? Seeing the hand of God work supernaturally in a way that is humanly impossible. That's a God that we serve. Because my Bible tells me with God, all things are possible. Verse 12. At that time, this guy here, Mr. Jones, Berodach Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah. For he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of, his treasures. The silver and the gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory. All that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in his house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. Whoa. You see what happens here? All of a sudden, pride enters in. We'll touch on that in a moment. One thing that did happen in the 15 years that God gave Hezekiah is all of a sudden he uses all these personal pronouns. In verse 13 alone, we have five. His treasures, his armory, his treasures, his house, his dominion. We have to be very careful because all that we have comes from the Lord. Do you know that? Do you treat everything that you have as being provided by Jehovah Jireh? Everything. That's why we give thanks for the food that's set before us. We give thanks in all things because he is Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. He provides everything. Then Isaiah 14, the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, "What did these men say? And from where did they come to you?" So Hezekiah said, "They came from a far country, from Babylon." And he said, "What have they seen in your house?" So Hezekiah answered, "They have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them." Isn't it interesting? Just a quick pause here. One of the first things a little baby learns, first words, mine. You ever notice that? Mine. Man, you try to take something out of their hands, like a piece of fruit or something, and they will bite and kick and scratch. Mine. It's funny. And it's part of our human nature. The old self thing. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they shall become eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he said, "Will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days?" You see the selfishness? "That's okay, I'm going to be gone. It ain't going to happen in my day. It's all good." And so here we see the king of Babylon had evidently heard about Hezekiah's illness, possibly even the death sentence. Life-threatening illness. He also heard that he was healed. And he sent an entourage down to him to congratulate him on his recovery. Part of the reason for this was to strengthen the Babylonian king, his ties with Hezekiah, because the Assyrians were coming against them. And so he's kind of, buttering up to Hezekiah for protection. We now sense, again, a bit of pride in the life of Hezekiah. How sad. That can happen to any of us. How often do we see people that begin with very little or nothing, when God begins to lift them up, and whether it be make a larger ministry or whatever it might be that God does, we have to be very, very careful not to allow pride to come in. It can happen with musicians. It can happen with athletes. It can happen with leaders. It can happen with church leaders. I've seen it happen over the years. God does not intend for his pastors to be famous. He just wants them to be faithful. Be it 5 people or 5,000 people, God has called us to be faithful and be very, very careful of allowing pride to enter in. 5 times in verse 13, we see the word We see the word my. When Isaiah questioned him on the Babylonian visit again, my house, my treasuries. And rather than giving glory to God for all his blessings, he was pridefully trying to impress the Babylonians. We have to be very, very careful not to try to impress people. Everything that you have has been given to you from God. That last breath you took, gift from God. That last beat of your heart, gift from God. Do you ever stop and think about that? The ability to see, to speak, to hear, to touch, to taste. The ability to love, gift from God. Everything that you and I have comes from God. Roof over your head, God. Car you have, the Lord. Whether you're driving a big car or a moped, give thanks to God. God is the one who provides all that we have, all of our needs, according to his riches and glory. And it's not to impress this world. I get irritated when I turn on the television and see all these preachers saying, man, you just need to name it and claim it and blab it and grab it and confess it and possess it, brother. And if you don't have it, you don't have enough faith, brother. And the first exercise of faith you need to do is send me all your money. Yeah. Liar, liar, pants on fire. Wouldn't it be cool if their pants caught on fire on TV while they're saying all that stuff? Man, that'd be so cool. We have to be careful, don't we? Not to try to impress this world. And if somebody compliments you on something, give glory to God. Nice car. Hey, my Lord provided it. Nice house, nice whatever. And so rather than giving glory to God, pridefully tries to impress the Babylonians. Isaiah then rebukes him in verse 16 and prophesies that Judah one day is going to be taken captive by the Babylonians. And we know that that came to pass, don't we? It happened. His sons would be taken away. They would be servants in the palace of the king of Babylon. How sad. Not only does sin affect us personally, but it affects our families. How often have you heard people say, well, I'm not hurting anybody. You ever heard that? I'm not hurting anybody. I got news for you. Your sin affects everybody. Everybody around you. We need to be very, 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 very careful. Hezekiah's response in verse 19, this, oh, dude, come on. Will there not be peace and truth, at least in my days? It's like, oh, that's okay. It's not going to happen in my day. You see, he's focused on himself. What happened? We need to learn from this section of Scripture tonight to keep our eyes on the Lord and not to get our eyes on ourselves. You're either going to look out and up, or you're going to look in and down. And the world is looking in and down. Got to be very, very careful. Hezekiah's 15 years, notice in verse 20 and 21, are now up. Whoa. Check it out. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah, all his might, how he made a pool and a tunnel and brought water into the city, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Hezekiah rested with his fathers. Then Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. It says here, prior to his death, he made a pool and a tunnel from the upper spring of Gihon to the pool of Siloam that supplied the city with water. And guess what? When you visit Israel today, you can go into Hezekiah's tunnel on your tour. But you have to wade through water. It's dark in there, and it's kind of claustrophobic. But you can go through it right into the city under the ground in the tunnel. It's pretty cool. We could probably use that right now. Right? Would you love to be in Hezekiah's tunnel right now, in the water and in the shade? And yeah. You can still wade through it when you visit Israel today. And so he did leave behind a testimony. He provided Jerusalem with a water supply so the Assyrians couldn't cut them off. So Hezekiah rested with his fathers, it said. Then Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. Here we go again. How quickly things can change, right? We kind of fast-forwarded 15 years, but you know what? You ever noticed how fast time flies by? Man, oh man. And the older you get, the faster it gets. You remember when you were younger as an elementary school child and summer lasted forever? Of course, in the desert with this heat, it seems like it's lasting forever too sometimes. No, but here we are, August already. We got one more month after August, we're out of this again. Time just flies by. So how quickly things can change. And that's exactly what's going to happen in our next chapter. From a godly king who did what was right in the eyes of the Lord to his son who will follow the example of his grandfather, Ahaz. And again, when I look at this, it checks me up as a grandpa. I have to make sure that what my grandkids see me do. And you know what? You don't want to live like that anyway. Put on a show in front of them and then live like hell behind the scenes. No. We need to be consistent in our lives. And I think it's so, so important that grandparents, great-grandparents have a godly testimony before their kids, grandkids, great-grandkids. Did a memorial service yesterday, like I said, for a grandpa. And man, what a testimony he had. Every family member that spoke just had nothing but great things to say about grandpa. You know, one of the greatest blessings that God can give us is being a parent and being a grandparent. I love the fact that it's almost like God gives you a second chance with your grandkids, you know. We make a lot of mistakes initially as parents, but get a second chance with being a grandparent. But again, oftentimes, our grandkids come to us for wisdom. We need to give them godly wisdom. My grandson visited us today. He had to come out and take care of some. He's starting his own business. And so I gave him some godly counsel. I said, lesson number one, it's not your business, it's God's business. And you need to conduct your business as God being the boss. I said, you know how I know that? I had my own business at one time, and it was God's business. It was all conducted under him, and it was successful. And I said, if you really want to have a successful business, recognize and realize that it's God's. And my grandson received it. And so it's important, isn't it, that we as parents, grandparents, great-grandparents live godly lives, because they're going to follow dad, grandpa, great-grandpa, whoever. They're going to follow the one that they really hook up with, if you would. Unfortunately, Manasseh followed his grandfather Ahaz. How sad. Look at this, verses 1 to 9, chapter 21. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzibah. Look at this. It doesn't take long, does it? And he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. For he, Manasseh, rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed. He raised up altars for Baal and made a wooden image, as Ahab the king of Israel had done. And he worshipped all the host of heaven and served them. He's not done. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, right in the temple, of which the Lord had said, in Jerusalem I will put my name. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. Also he made his son pass through the fire, practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, consulted spiritists and mediums. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image of Asherah. And that's what I said. That's that perverted thing that he made, sexually perverted. They had made in the house which the Lord had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander anymore from the land which I gave their fathers, only if they are careful to do according to all that I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them. But they paid no attention. Isn't that sad? There's some sad verses in the Bible, and to me that's one of the saddest. They paid no attention, and Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. Whoa. In this case, it's not father like son. How sad, how tragic. It's son like grandfather. The amazing thing about this first section is that we go from one of Judah's greatest kings. Scripture tells us that Manasseh was the very worst of all of them. It happened just like that. Manasseh's reign was not only the longest in Judah, 55 years, but it was the most wicked of any of the other kings. Can you imagine? You would think the people would rise up against this guy. But how many things are exposed in America today that you would think the people would rise up and say, no, we're not going to do this. It's ungodly. It's antichrist. And guess what? They tolerate it. The people are doing what is right in their own eyes, just like the Bible says. And what's America's motto oftentimes? If it feels good, do it. I got news for you. The end result of a lot of things that feel good don't feel so good. The wages of sin is death. He went right to work. He didn't waste any time. He rebuilt the places of pagan worship, it says here. He raised up the altars to Baal. He made a wooden image again to Asherah, sexual immorality. He worshipped the host of heaven, astrology, and all that other garbage. Just what they're doing today. Let me read your astrological sign. They built pagan altars in the temple. They made his son pass through the fire. They used witchcraft. All of these things are prevalent in America today. You know what the original language is on witchcraft? Pharmakia, illicit use of drugs. Yeah. And what do? We just legalize them. They consulted spirits and mediums. That's popular today. You know what that's doing? That's like seeking counsel from the devil. Mediums, spiritists. It warns about that in Leviticus 19, Deuteronomy 18. He warns about consulting mediums and spiritists. It says he did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Doesn't that put a little bit of fear in your heart? Of provoking the Lord to anger. I never, ever, 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 ever want to provoke the Lord to anger. Man, look at this guy. Could care less. He put an obscene image in the temple. He put that obscene sexual image in the house of the Lord. Man, it amazes me that God just didn't send fire from heaven. He's going to one day on this world. We know that. We saw that in the revelation of Jesus Christ. Global warming is coming. And it's not going to be predicted by the weatherman. It's going to be predicted by the word of the Lord. It's coming. All God wanted them to do, it says in the last couple of verses here, was what they were commanded by God to do. Obey the law of Moses. Do you find anything wrong with the Ten Commandments? I love the Ten Commandments. They're not the Ten Suggestions. They're the Ten Commandments. Thus saith the Lord. Yet it says here they paid no attention. How sad. God is speaking to his people. The people he created. And they're paying no attention to him. And Manasseh, it says, seduced them to do more evil than the nations that God had destroyed before the children of Israel. He seduced them spiritually. And again, it's possible to spiritually seduce people today by deviating from this incredible book called the Bible. This is God's word right here. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God says, I never change. His word never changes. The things God warned about way back in the beginning, God still stands on today. We have to be very, 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 very careful. And I have to wonder, how long, O Lord? You ever ask yourself that? How long, O Lord, before the nation and the world provokes you to anger? Verse 10 to 16. And the Lord spoke by his servant the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, he has acted, look at this, what a testimony, to be read for thousands of years in churches. He has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. I don't know what that's like. I have never heard news that has made my ears tingle. I've heard things make my heart jump. Make my skin cringe, but your ears to tingle. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. Look at this. I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. So I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies. and they shall become victims of plunder to all their enemies. I'm going to pause there for a second. I'll finish to verse 16 in a moment. You see what sin does? Sin allows the enemy to take us captive. Bondage. You don't necessarily see physical chains in people's lives, but we go around and we're in contact with people every day all over the place, Walmart, the mall, whatever it might be. And what would it be like if God exposed chains on people? Alcohol, drugs, pornography, whatever it might be. What would it be like to all of a sudden see physically the chains that are binding people? That's what sin does. But you see, people have a way of trying to cover it up, hiding it so no one will see. I was sharing with someone yesterday, one of the first times I ever saw the real me. I think I've shared this with you before. One of my best buddies when I worked with Coors was a professional boxer. Not going to give you his name. Chartered a bus, went down to the Olympic Auditorium, L.A. You ever been there, guys? The worst of the worst. I don't remember how I got home. I do remember when I sat down on my bed, I took my shoe off and poured beer out of it. We had a beer fight on the bus, just about destroyed the bus. The driver called me the next day. And so I went in to what the world calls to get a hair of the dog, to get well. Went into the hospitality room at Coors, where I worked, having a couple, and all of a sudden there's a big screen over to the right, and all the guys are watching it. And they had taped the fight, the Olympic Auditorium, the whole thing there. And all of a sudden, I hear the filthiest, loudest mouth in the whole Olympic auditorium. And I went around and looked at the screen, and guess who it was? I was the biggest, filthiest idiot in the whole Olympic auditorium. And you know what? I just went like this. I was about this big when I walked out the door. And I went home, which was a surprise to my wife because I never came home. This was the beginning of God getting my attention. Went into my bedroom, shut the door, got down on my face and begged God to change my life. Yeah. Amazing, isn't it? When we really, truly see ourselves. God will allow us to do that at times. And you know what? God loved me so much. He allowed me to see what other people saw. And it wasn't good. Man. Paid no attention. Manasseh seduced him, and they did more evil. He did more evil in the sight of the Lord than ever before. Wow. Verse 15, because they had done evil in my sight and have provoked me to anger since the day the fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Besides his sin, by which he made Judah sin, in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Whoa. Manasseh was a leader, all right. He led the people into the worst abominations, into more wickedness than any other king did. You see what leaders can do? Leaders do exactly that. They lead people. Just like the Pied Piper. As a result, God says he's going to punish Judah. He's going to wipe it like a dish. His people would be led away into captivity. Like I said, sin always, always, always will take you captive. Manasseh, verse 16 tells us, shed very much innocent blood. How sad. You know what that means? That means there were many godly people that were slain because of Manasseh's sin. And guess who one of them was? The prophet Isaiah was sawn in two because of Manasseh. Yeah, sawn in two. They took a saw and cut him in half. And guess what? It wasn't this way. It was lengthwise. That's how wicked this guy was, man. Heavy stuff. Hebrews 11:37 tells us they were sawn asunder. And it came to pass, as 2 Chronicles 33 tells us, that Manasseh is going to be taken captive in Babylon. He'd be locked up in prison. Now, this is interesting. This blew me away this week. It's been a while since I've been in this section of 2 Kings. While he was in prison, Manasseh did repent and turn to the Lord. Yeah, you imagine that. He was then allowed to return to Jerusalem and resume his reign. This is a perfect example of God's grace and love and mercy. This shows us that God will forgive and save anyone. Anyone. Why do we question whether a person can be saved or not? Who are we to determine who's going to be saved and who's not? And I've seen over the years some of the most unlikely people get saved and God radically transform their lives. And you're looking at one of them. Yes, the damage had been done. Okay? Just like with you and I. When we're in the world, bound with chains, sin, sometimes we do things, man, that cause us damage. Not only to ourselves, maybe to other people. Physically, spiritually, emotionally, financially, yes, we can damage ourselves, but even though the damage was done, God forgave him. Yes, they would reap what they sowed. The people would continue to follow evil. How sad. And because Manasseh had repented and given his heart to the Lord, it had to break his heart to watch the people continue on in what he had led them to do by seducing them into sin. Crazy. 17 and 18. Notice, now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, all that he did, and the sin that he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? So Manasseh rested with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah. Then his son Amon reigned in his place. So Manasseh's dead. Everybody gets one, don't they? Manasseh's buried. And now his son Amon reigns. Notice it doesn't say that he was buried in the tombs with his fathers, with the other kings. Verse 19 to 26, and we'll finish it up. Amon was 22 years old when he became king. And he reigned for 2 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Meshulameth. There's a mouthful. The daughter of Haruz of Yatbah. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Look at this. Like father, like son. As his father Manasseh had done. So he walked in all the ways his father had walked. And he served the idols that his father had served and worshiped them. He forsook the Lord of his fathers and did not walk in the way of the Lord. Then the servants of Amon conspired against him and killed the king in his own house. But the people of the land executed all those who had conspired against King Amon. Then the people of the land made his son Josiah king of in his place. Now the rest of the acts of Amon, which he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And he was buried in his tomb in the garden of Uzzah. Then Josiah, his son, reigned in his place. It would have been wise if he were to follow his grandfather. Who was his grandfather? Hezekiah. But he didn't. He followed his father. How sad. His reign would only be 2 years. His father reigned 55 years as the most wicked king Israel had ever had. Amon was notorious for his idolatry. Amon was notorious for not following God. Oh, yes, he walked. Oh, yes, he served. Oh, yes, he worshiped idols and pagan abominations. You know what? We all walk. We all serve. We all worship something. You know that, don't you? It's either the true and the living God, or it's the things of Satan. Jesus told the religious hypocrites, "You are of your father, the devil." Jesus didn't mince any words. We are all walking with somebody. We are all serving somebody. I think it was Bob Dylan had a song, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." Years ago, Bob Dylan gave his life to the Lord. He's Jewish. And he came out with an album, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." And in this song, he says, "You gotta serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody." And everybody on this planet is serving somebody and walking with somebody and worshiping somebody. And you can't serve two masters. It's either Jesus Christ or the devil. But here, Amon forsook God, it says. How sad. He did not walk in God's ways, it said. And guess what? That's why he only lasted 2 years. Because the people conspired to kill him, but they did. Next week, tune in next week, things are going to change again. His son Josiah is going to reign, and we're going to get to meet Josiah next week. In the meantime, neither Amon or his father were buried in the tombs of the kings of Judah. They were such an abomination to the nation that they would not even allow them to be buried with the other kings. Interesting stuff here tonight. As we close, here's the challenge for all of us. Who are you walking with? Who are you serving? Who are you worshiping? It's a challenge. Why? Because what did we see in the last chapter? We need to get our house in order. Is your house in order? That's the bottom line. How long does it take to get our house in order? As long as it takes to get on our knees and pray. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God can take what the enemy intends for evil and turn it around for good, just like that. If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us for all of our sin and cleanse us from all righteousness. All unrighteousness. As we close, it's just a final admonition for all of us, myself included. I'm talking to me here tonight. Is my house in order? If God calls me home, even on the way home tonight, who knows? No one promises you and I tomorrow. Is my house in order? Is your house in order? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word tonight. Thank you that you show us both sides of the coin. What happens to nations that turn away from you and follow idols and worship pagan things? And you also showed us what happens when godly people rule. We pray for the United States of America. I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would open the eyes of the leaders in this nation to you. Remove the scales. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, through the power of the Holy Spirit, that they would repent of their sins, just like Manasseh did, and that you would forgive them and restore them and save them, and that they would turn from their wicked ways, that they would clean house in America. Lord, we live in a pig pen. Sheep are not to live in pig pens. I pray for us individually tonight that we would clean house, whatever it is, whatever you show us. In our lives, if we put it in your nail-scarred hands, Lord, you will take it away and nail it to the cross at Calvary. You'll forgive us for all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's who you are. Even as David prayed, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and renew a right spirit within me." Would you do that, please? Thank you for the worship tonight. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.